Hey, it's Jacob Goldstein from Business History. In our new series, American Genius, we tell the stories of three great writers who changed the way business works in America. Our first episode is about Benjamin Franklin, who, among many other things, was a best-selling business writer. Take a listen.
He's writing this much later in his life, consciously creating this image of himself. And I do want to emphasize how unusual this model is at the time, this self-made man myth, because you don't want to be self-made. It's low class to be self-made. You know, this idea that we have today is the opposite, right? And it comes from Franklin. Today, there is the derisive term nepo baby.
Well, exactly right. And these days, if you are a billionaire, you had better have a Benjamin Franklin story about starting in a garage, coming up with the idea from nothing.
And here is Benjamin Franklin inventing it right before our eyes.
This has been brought to you by Odoo. To listen to more of our American Genius series, listen to Business History. New episodes release every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, we have extra big deals for a very limited time, so you can get Dad the gift he's been wishing for. Get a free select Craftsman, DeWalt, or Kobalt battery when you buy a select combo kit. Plus, save $90 on a Kobalt 24-volt battery string trimmer and leaf blower combo kit. Now $129. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Back to the conversation in just a second. You know that feeling when you flip your pillow to the cool side at 2 a.m.? Yeah, I used to love that until I got a ghost bed pillow. Now my pillow stays cool all night long and I don't have to flip it. Ghost bed is for people who are tired of having flipping the pillow to be the solution. I've got a ghost bed at home. My whole family sleeps on their pillows. The cooling is built right in. It's not an upgrade. It's something that is there, not something you have to pay extra for. I take my pillow with me on vacation, to hotels, wherever I am going. I absolutely love it, and I've been doing it for years. Right now, Ghost Bed is still having the Memorial Day sale. It makes it the perfect time to upgrade. $200 off adjustable base bundles, a mattress, and an adjustable base paired together for the ultimate bedroom upgrade. Plus, Real Ghost Stories listeners get an extra 10% off site-wide with code GHOST. Ghost Bed is family-owned with over 20 years in the industry and more than 100,000 positive reviews from happy customers. They make everything from mattresses and adjustable bases to pillows and bedding. This isn't some unknown sleep brand. They've been doing this a very long time, and it shows. If you're not sure which mattress is right for you, head to ghostbed.com/ghost and take their mattress quiz. You answer a few questions about how you sleep, and you'll get a personalized recommendation from their collection. Every Ghost Bed mattress comes with fast, free shipping and 101 nights to try it out. If it's not your right fit for you, you get your money back. Upgrade your sleep with Ghost Bed, the makers of the coolest beds in the world. Head to ghostbed.com/ghost and use code GHOST for an extra 10% off site-wide. That's ghostbed.com/ghost, code GHOST. Now back to the conversation.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Looking back, the strangest part wasn't the footsteps, the nightmares, or even the things the family could never explain. It was how certain they were that they understood what was happening. For years, whenever the story came up, everyone pointed to the same thing. The timing seemed too perfect to ignore. Michael received a Ouija board for his birthday, began spending hours talking to an invisible friend named Jimmy, and not long afterwards, strange things started happening throughout the house. To the family, the explanation seemed obvious. Only decades later did they begin to wonder whether they had misunderstood everything. The story began in the late 1970s, shortly after the family moved into a rental house on the edge of town. It wasn't an old Victorian filled with creaking floorboards or a farmhouse sitting alone on a forgotten road. In fact, the house looked almost identical to dozens of others in the neighborhood. It was the sort of place where children rode bicycles until dark, neighbors waved from their driveways, and nothing particularly unusual was expected to happen. For the first several months, life was exactly that ordinary. The family settled into their routines. Their father worked long hours, their mother managed the chaos of raising four children, and the kids adjusted to a new school and neighborhood. The house itself never gave anyone a reason to feel uncomfortable. There were no unexplained noises, no cold spots, and no strange feelings that lingered in certain rooms. Looking back, everyone agreed that the home felt perfectly normal. Then Michael became fascinated with Ouija boards. The interest started after he saw one at a department store. Today, that might raise concerns, but at the time, Ouija boards were marketed as family entertainment. They sat on shelves beside Monopoly and Scrabble, and nobody thought twice about buying one for a curious child. Michael became determined to have one, mentioning it so often that his parents eventually gave in and bought it for his 9th birthday. When he unwrapped the gift, he was thrilled. That evening, the board ended up on the kitchen table, surrounded by curious children and mildly amused parents. Nobody approached the experience with fear. If anything, they expected a few laughs and a lot of accusations about who was secretly moving the planchette. For the first half hour, that's exactly what happened. The questions were silly, the answers were inconsistent, and everyone treated it like a game. Then the board provided a name, Jimmy. According to the answers that followed, Jimmy was 7 years old and had died in a car accident. The response made the room a little quieter, though not because anyone was frightened. The answer simply felt oddly specific. Their father immediately assumed one of the children was influencing the board, while their mother wasn't entirely convinced but saw no reason to be concerned. Before long, everyone had lost interest and moved on with the evening. Everyone except Michael. For reasons nobody completely understood, he became fascinated with Jimmy. Over the following weeks, the board became a regular part of his daily routine. Sometimes he sat with it alone. Other times, one of his siblings joined him. Occasionally, he would emerge from these sessions with stories about things Jimmy had supposedly said. Most of those stories sounded harmless enough. Jimmy liked baseball. Jimmy hated vegetables. Jimmy supposedly knew things about the neighborhood. To the adults, it sounded no different than a child talking about an imaginary friend. The family smiled, nodded, and went about their lives. Eventually, they stopped paying attention altogether. Then Tim started having nightmares. The first one happened in the middle of the night, and it was severe enough to wake the entire house. Everyone heard the screaming. Their mother rushed into the boy's bedroom and found Tim sitting upright in bed, pale and terrified, with blankets and pillows scattered across the floor. It took several minutes to calm him down enough to explain what had happened. The next morning over breakfast, he reluctantly described what he had seen. According to Tim, he had woken up and found the room filled with people. Not one or two figures, but dozens. Men and women stood shoulder to shoulder around his bed and along the walls. He couldn't make out their faces clearly, yet he knew they were all staring at him. The experience frightened him so badly that he began throwing whatever he could reach before finally screaming for help. His parents assumed it had been an unusually vivid nightmare. That explanation seemed reasonable. At least, until it happened again. Over the following weeks, the nightmares became a regular occurrence. Although the details changed slightly from one episode to the next, the central image remained the same. Tim would wake up convinced the room was crowded with silent figures watching him. Sometimes they stood near the closet. Sometimes they lined the walls. Occasionally, he claimed there were so many of them that he couldn't see the floor beyond the edge of his bed. The constant interruptions left him exhausted. He dreaded going to sleep and often stayed awake long after everyone else had gone to bed. The rest of the family felt terrible for him, but there wasn't much they could do beyond reassuring him that the nightmares weren't real. Michael, however, seemed to have a different perspective. One evening, after another particularly bad episode, he casually mentioned that Jimmy didn't like the people appearing in Tim's room. The comment immediately caught everyone's attention. When questioned further, Michael explained that Jimmy claimed the figures weren't supposed to be upstairs at all. According to him, they belonged somewhere else in the house, the basement. At the time, there was nothing particularly frightening about the basement. It was partially finished, used mostly for storage, and served as a place where the children occasionally played. Their father kept tools down there and boxes filled with old belongings lined one wall. There was no obvious reason for a child to associate the space with anything sinister. Even so, Michael's comment lingered in everyone's mind. Not long afterward, another problem began. Late at night, after everyone had gone to bed, footsteps could be heard moving slowly through the hallway. At first, the sounds were easy to dismiss. Every house makes noise. Floorboards creak, pipes expand and contract. Heating systems click and groan when temperatures change. These sounds felt different. The footsteps followed the same pattern almost every night. They would begin near one end of the hallway, move past the bedrooms at a slow, deliberate pace, pause for several moments, and then retrace the exact same route in the opposite direction. There was nothing hurried or random about them. Whatever was making the sound seemed to be walking the hallway with purpose. At first, the children were the only ones talking about it, but as the weeks passed, their mother reluctantly admitted she heard it as well. Eventually, even their father stopped dismissing the noises as settling floorboards and acknowledged that something strange seemed to be happening after everyone went to bed. Nobody ever discovered a source for the footsteps. Nobody ever opened a bedroom door and found someone standing in the hallway. The sound simply continued night after night. By then, the family thought they knew exactly what was responsible. The strange activity had started after Michael began spending so much time talking to Jimmy, and the connection felt impossible to ignore. Only Michael disagreed. Whenever anyone blamed Jimmy, he became strangely defensive. He insisted that Jimmy wasn't responsible for the nightmares, the footsteps, or any of the other unsettling things happening around the house. In fact, according to Michael, Jimmy seemed just as bothered by the activity as everyone else. The more Michael talked about him, the less Jimmy sounded like a threatening spirit, and the more he sounded like a frightened little boy. That was part of what made the next conversation so unsettling. One afternoon, Michael came upstairs after spending nearly an hour alone with the board. He looked unusually serious, and when his mother asked what was wrong, he hesitated before answering. According to Michael, Jimmy wanted everyone to stop blaming him. For the first time since they had supposedly made contact, Jimmy seemed frightened, and he kept insisting on the same thing. There was something else in the house, something that didn't want to be found. By the time winter arrived, the atmosphere inside the house had changed. Nobody would have admitted it openly at first, but everyone felt it. The footsteps had become so common that they were almost part of the family's nightly routine. The sound would begin after everyone was in bed, slowly making its way down the hallway before turning around and retracing the exact same path. Sometimes the footsteps continued for only a few minutes. Other nights, they seemed to go on for hours. The strangest part was that nobody ever found a source. Whenever their father investigated, the hallway was empty. Whenever anyone opened a bedroom door, the sounds stopped. Then, sooner or later, they would begin again. At first, the family blamed the house itself. Maybe the floorboards were shifting. Maybe the heating system was causing unusual noises. But those explanations became harder to accept as the weeks passed. The footsteps sounded too deliberate, too measured, and too consistent to be easily dismissed. Tim's nightmares continued as well. Although they no longer happened every night, they remained frequent enough that everyone dreaded hearing him scream. Sometimes he described the same crowded room full of silent figures. Other times he claimed they were standing just outside his bedroom door. What frightened him most wasn't that they were there. It was the feeling that they were waiting for something. No matter how often he described the dreams, the figures never seemed interested in him. They simply stood there watching, as though they were expecting something to happen. As unsettling as the nightmares were, Michael's growing attachment to Jimmy worried their mother even more. The Ouija board had gradually become less of a game and more of a routine. Whenever Michael was upset, he wanted to talk to Jimmy. Whenever something strange happened in the house, he wanted to ask Jimmy about it. Eventually, their mother decided enough was enough. One afternoon, she took the board away. Michael protested, but the decision had already been made. The board was carried outside and thrown into the trash. As far as their mother was concerned, the entire situation had gotten out of hand, and she wanted the family to move on from it. For a few days, things seemed better. Michael complained about losing the board, but he gradually stopped bringing up Jimmy. The family hoped the strange phase had finally run its course. Then their mother walked into the basement and found Michael sitting on the floor. In front of him was a homemade Ouija board. He had drawn letters and numbers onto a large piece of cardboard and was using a drinking glass in place of the planchette. The discovery led to one of the biggest arguments the family could remember. Michael insisted he only wanted to talk to Jimmy. His mother insisted Jimmy wasn't real. Neither side was willing to give an inch. Eventually, the homemade board disappeared as well, but by then something else had changed. For the first time since all of this started, Michael seemed genuinely concerned. Whenever family members asked about Jimmy, his answers became shorter. The excitement he once had when discussing his invisible friend seemed to have faded. If anything, he looked worried. A few weeks later, he finally explained why. According to Michael, Jimmy was becoming frightened. The statement caught everyone off guard. Up until that point, the family had assumed Jimmy was responsible for the activity. Now Michael was claiming the exact opposite. He insisted that Jimmy hated the footsteps and didn't like being in the basement anymore. More than once, Jimmy had supposedly warned him not to spend so much time downstairs. The explanation only convinced the family that Michael had become too invested in the story. No one believed him. As winter gave way to spring, the basement became the focus of nearly everything strange happening in the house. So it began with a feeling. Anyone who went downstairs alone eventually described the same thing. The sensation wasn't dramatic enough to send someone running back upstairs, but it was impossible to ignore. It felt as though someone was standing nearby watching them. The feeling lingered most strongly in one corner of the basement. There was nothing remarkable about the space, no strange markings, no hidden room, no obvious reason for anyone to focus on it. Yet nobody liked standing there for very long. Then the boys started seeing the eyes. The first time it happened, their parents dismissed it immediately. The second time was harder to explain. According to both boys, red eyes would occasionally appear in the darkness after the basement lights were turned off. At first, they assumed it was a reflection from something in the room. But whenever they turned the lights back on, there was nothing there. The eyes disappeared. As soon as the room became dark again, they returned. Neither boy could explain it. Neither wanted to stay downstairs long enough to investigate. Eventually, the sightings became common enough that the brothers stopped talking about them outside the family because they already knew nobody else would believe them. The final straw came a few weeks later. By then, the boys had moved their bedroom into the basement, hoping the extra space would be fun. The arrangement lasted less than a month. One night, Michael woke screaming. His panic was so intense that it woke the entire house. By the time everyone gathered in the kitchen, he was crying too hard to speak. It took their mother nearly 20 minutes to calm him down enough to explain what had happened. According to Michael, he woke up and saw the red eyes standing beside his bed. This time, they hadn't remained eyes for long. The shape around them had become visible. A tall figure covered in dark hair with long arms and glowing eyes stood beside the mattress, watching him sleep. The description sounded impossible. Even Michael seemed embarrassed by it afterward, but he refused to change a single detail. The following day, both boys moved their belongings back upstairs. Neither one was willing to spend another night in the basement. The strange thing was that after that incident, Michael stopped talking about Jimmy altogether. For nearly a week, he barely mentioned him. Then one afternoon, he quietly announced that Jimmy was gone. When the family pressed him for details, he explained that Jimmy had stopped answering. At first, he thought something was wrong. Then, during what would supposedly be their final conversation, Jimmy told him he couldn't stay any longer. He had to leave. No explanation, no dramatic farewell, just gone. The family was relieved, and if Jimmy was finally out of the picture, maybe the strange things would stop as well. Maybe Michael would move on. Maybe everyone could finally put the entire experience behind them. For the first time in months, the house felt hopeful. None of them realized they were about to discover something that would completely change the way they remembered Jimmy. Because after Jimmy disappeared, the activity didn't stop, and it got worse. The family had expected things to improve after Jimmy disappeared. Instead, the opposite happened. The footsteps continued. The uneasy feeling in the basement remained. Occasionally, someone would hear a bang from downstairs or the sound of something shifting when nobody else was home. Whatever hope they had felt when Michael stopped talking about Jimmy gradually faded. If anything, the house seemed heavier than before. The strange thing was that nobody talked about Jimmy anymore. For months, he had been the center of every conversation. Whenever something happened, his name came up almost immediately. Now that he was gone, the family simply focused on getting through each day and ignoring whatever was happening around them. Not long afterward, another problem began to overshadow everything else. Tim and Michael's parents started fighting. The arguments grew more frequent than more intense. Looking back, everyone agreed the marriage had already been struggling before they moved into the house, but the tension seemed to grow steadily during the time they lived there. Whether the house had anything to do with it or not, nobody could say. Eventually, the marriage ended. The divorce meant the family would be moving, and at the time, the children were relieved. The house had become a place where nobody felt completely comfortable anymore. The nightmares, the footsteps, the strange feelings in the basement, and the constant tension had taken their toll. By the day the moving truck arrived, everyone was ready to leave, and just like that, the story seemed over. The family moved on. The footsteps stopped. Tim's nightmares eventually disappeared. Nobody saw red eyes anymore. Life continued. As the years passed, the house became one of those strange family stories that resurfaced during holidays and reunions. Someone would mention the footsteps. Someone else would bring up Tim's nightmares. The adults would laugh nervously and remind one another how frightening the whole experience had felt at the time. For decades, everyone told the story the same way. The Ouija board introduced Jimmy. Jimmy brought the haunting, and the rest followed naturally from there. Then, nearly 40 years later, Michael changed everything. The conversation happened during a family gathering when the old house came up yet again. By then, everyone was older. Parents had become grandparents. The events themselves felt distant enough to discuss without reopening old fears. At some point, someone asked Michael what he remembered most about Jimmy. The question caught him off guard. After thinking about it for a moment, he admitted there was something he had never told anyone. When he was a child, he genuinely believed Jimmy was real. Whether that belief came from imagination, the Ouija board, or something paranormal didn't matter. To him, Jimmy had felt like a friend. The room grew quiet as Michael explained that Jimmy spent weeks insisting he wasn't responsible for the things happening in the house. Every time Michael asked about the footsteps or the nightmares, the answer was always the same. It wasn't him. What Michael never shared was what happened during those final conversations before Jimmy disappeared. According to him, Jimmy wasn't leaving because he wanted to. He was scared. The more activity there was in the house, the more frightened Jimmy became. Eventually, he stopped talking about the footsteps altogether and focused on warning Michael about the basement. Not the red eyes, not the figure beside the bed, the basement itself. Jimmy kept insisting there was something there, something angry, something that didn't like being watched. Most importantly, something that knew Jimmy was there. As a child, Michael didn't understand what any of that meant. By the time he thought to tell anyone, Jimmy was gone and life had moved on. The revelation left the family sitting in silence. For years, they had assumed Jimmy was responsible for everything. The timing seemed obvious and the explanation was easy. Listening to Michael describe those final conversations forced them to consider another possibility. What if Jimmy hadn't caused any of it? What if the thing they blamed for decades was simply the only thing willing to talk? Nobody at the table claimed to know the answer. Maybe Jimmy was a child's imagination. Maybe he was exactly what he claimed to be. Or maybe he was something else entirely. What everyone agreed on was this: the house changed after Jimmy disappeared, not before. Looking back, that realization bothered them more than anything else. Because if Jimmy had truly been responsible, the activity should have ended when he left. Instead, the house felt worse. To this day, nobody in the family will touch a Ouija board. Not because they're afraid of contacting Jimmy, that they're afraid of contacting whatever he was hiding from.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Modo Casino. Modo's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Modo, America's social casino. Play for free on Modo.us.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Take the short drive to Genesee County and Batavia Downs for the Rockin' the Downs Concert Series when we welcome legendary Motown artist The Spinners Friday, June 26th. Get tickets at BataviaConcerts.com. Hear songs like The Rubber Band Man, Working My Way Back to You, I'll Be Around, and many more. Tickets start at just $20 and include $10 in free play. Be sure to get them now at BataviaConcerts.com.
Batavia Downs with more, lots more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dix.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dix.com/scorecardplus for details.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dix.com/scorecardplus for details.